1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 49. We have progressed through 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have two more studies left. In fact, we've taken the first half, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 34, where Paul established for us about the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Without the resurrection, there is no purpose for going through what we are going through. Today, we start a new section. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 58 is the process of the resurrection. We're going to read for you verses 35 through 49 this morning. We invite you to follow along. But someone will say, how are the dead being raised? And with what body do they come? Foolish ones. It's not the word fool, that's moros. This is the word foolish one that means somebody who is without understanding, without the proper frame of mind. Foolish one. You yourself, what you are sowing, it is not producing life if it does not die. It's a very interesting concept. And what you are sowing, you are not sowing the body that it will become, but you are sowing bare grain. If it might be wheat or some of the rest of the seeds. But God gives it a body according as He willed, and to each of the seeds its own body. All flesh is not all the same flesh, but another flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of fish, and another of birds. And there are heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is different, and the glory of the earthly is different. There is another glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs than star in glory. So also the resurrection of the dead. It is being sown in corruption. It is being raised in incorruption. It is being sown in dishonor. It is being raised in glory. It is being sown in weakness. It is being raised in power. It is being sown a natural body, and it is being raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and the word natural is the word cyclical. Comes from psuche, psyche. The natural man and the natural body is a man that goes by his natural way of thinking. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So also it has been written, the first man, Adam, became for a living soul, the last Adam for a life-producing spirit. But the spiritual is not first, but the natural, afterward the spiritual. The first man, who is the man made of dust, is from out of the earth. The second man, the Lord, is from out of heaven. Such as the man of dust, such as also those ones who are of dust. And such as the heavenly man, such as also those who are heavenly. And according as we bore the image of the dust, the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. in verses 1 through 4, we saw the proclamation of the gospel, with emphasis on the resurrection. Without a resurrection, we have no good news, we have no gospel. Verses 5 through 10 is the proof of the resurrection, as he presents six instances of Christ revealing himself to others after he rose from the dead. Verse 11 is the profession of the resurrection. It is what Paul preached, and it is what we believe. In verses 12 through 19, we have a problem with the resurrection. Because if there is no resurrection, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, and we have no promise of the resurrection, then our message is meaningless. It has no substance. Also, our faith is meaningless and has no substance. And those believers who have died and perished, and we will never see them again. There's no hope for them. And if in this life we only hope in Christ, we are to be pitied. So there are problems exist if there is no resurrection of the dead. Verses 20 through 28, the procession of the resurrection. Christ is the first fruits. Christ is the first of the resurrection. In fact, he is the resurrection. Secondly, those who are in Christ, they will be raised at his coming. And then thirdly, the end will come when even Christ and those belong to Christ will be submitted to the Father, and we will all be one with Him in the new heaven and in the new Jerusalem given to us in Revelation chapters 20, 21, and 22. And then verses 29 through 34, last week we saw the predicament of the resurrection. The predicament is that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then even those who are practicing the pagan mystic religions are contradicting themselves and putting themselves into a predicament. Because verse 29 tells us that there were those who were even being baptized for the dead. And Paul makes mention of them and says it is they, not we. It is not a Christian practice. But it is a pagan practice that has been brought into the body of Christ, showing that there are those, in fact, the ones who are practicing baptism of the dead didn't believe in the resurrection. Why be baptized for the dead if you don't believe that there is a resurrection? It's a contradiction, and they're making a great predicament for themselves. Paul says it's a predicament for us too, because we die daily to minister the gospel. He says, I even suffered at the hands of wild beasts at Ephesus. And all of this is for nothing if there is no resurrection of the dead. Now, verse 33 is a very important verse from last week to remember. Do not be led astray. Evil companions are corrupting good morals. All the way from doctrine, biblical doctrine, to social life. That is always the principle. You hang around people that believe the wrong things, the incorrect things, you will be influenced by that false doctrine. Same thing socially. If you're with people who are not following Christ, you will be influenced by their bad, harmful habits, and your ethics in Christ, as He has developed in you, will be affected by that. Now for today, verses 35 through 49, part one of the process of the resurrection. In verse 35, there are two questions. The first question is answered in verses 35 through 49. The question is, Paul says, now someone will say, how are the dead being raised? So that's what we're going to study today. How are the dead being raised? And then secondly, with what body do they come? We'll answer that next week when we take verses 50 through 58. This is all the process of the resurrection. Verses 36 through 38, we're actually going to study three processes. Verses 36 to 38, the process of death. Verses 39 to 41, the process of change. Verses 42 through 44, the process of glory. And then 45 to 49, five things in summary. I'll repeat that again. Verses 36 to 38, the process of death. Verses 39 through 41, process of change. Verses 42 through 44, the process of glory. And then verses 45 to 49, his summary of this section. First of all, verses 36 to 38, the process of death. Very necessary. He calls them foolish. Remember, he's just left off telling them that he is telling these things about the resurrection to them because they are ignorant and because they hang around with ignorant people. And he is saying this to shame them. Now he calls them foolish. After he's established the resurrection, verses 1 to 34, he now sets out to answer two questions that, hypothetically, two questions that people would ask now that he's established the resurrection. How are the dead being raised, and with what body do they come? So he says foolish, that is, people who are without the proper frame of mind of understanding. He says two things in verses 36 and 37. The first thing in verse 36, the seed that you are sowing, the seed itself does not produce life if it should not die. First principle in the process of death is that there must be death in order to produce life. That is true in everything. Spiritually, physically, there must be death in order to produce life. Jesus Christ, it was necessary for him to die on the cross. It was necessary for him to put me to death and to put my flesh to death, the old nature to death, that his spirit might live in me. I have been crucified. I have been put to death. Paul says, I die daily, and it's not just a physical death. He dies to himself. He denies himself and takes up his cross to follow Jesus, just as Jesus said the requirement was. The first principle is there must be death in order to produce life. And he's talking about a seed, that which you are sowing into the ground. The seed itself cannot produce life unless you put it into the ground, unless it dies, you just like the physical body. Second principle in verse 37, and what you are sowing in the ground, it is not the same body that it is going to become, but it is bare grain. Now, being a gardener, a landscaper, having dealt with seeds and grass seeds, and no matter what type of seed you're dealing with, what you put into the ground is not the same thing that comes out of the ground. In fact, if you take a seed, take some grass seed, and try to break it in half or cut it in half, you don't find grass inside. It's just a seed. That's all it is. So the body of seed that you put into the ground is not the same body that emerges from out of the ground. And he's making that correlation with the process of the death of the seed with the process of the human being. We must die. In fact, we'll see in a few moments, our bodies are corrupting. They are dying from the first day that we're born. And one day we will put these bodies into the ground, and they will corrupt even faster with no life in them. But as we will see at the end of this study and again next week, there will come a day when these bodies will emerge out of the ground. And from out of the ground, they will not be the same bodies that were put into the ground. they will come out a different body. What we are putting into the ground in our physical bodies will not be the same that comes out of the ground when the Lord calls us out. Interesting, in John 12:24, Jesus said, "Except a seed fall into the ground and die, it does not bear grain, it just remains alone." So if a seed falls down in the ground on the cement and it is not buried into the ground, it'll just remain there. Nothing will ever happen. It has to be buried. It has to go through the death process. It has to go under the ground. There has to be enough soil on top to keep it underground. And in God's divine and in His purpose, He has designed the seed to be that way, not only for the reproduction process, but to be an example for us. Look what Paul is doing. He's using the seed as God designed it as an example of the resurrection. Verse 38, God gives it a body. Each seed has its own body as God has given to it. You plant a grass seed in the ground, it's not going to grow an apple tree. Every seed has its own body as God has designed for it. You can see the correlation. God has given us a body, just like He has given the seed a body. This is our shell. What is going to emerge out of this body at the resurrection is not the same as what's going to be put into the ground. Verses 39 to 41, the process of change. The process of change. He says, all flesh, verse 39, all flesh are not the same. First of all, there's the flesh of man, the human being, anthropos. There's the flesh of beasts or animals, different than ours. There's the flesh of fish, again, different than ours. And there's the flesh of birds, again, much different from ours. Each one producing after its own kind. Humans produce humans. Animals produce animals. Fish produce fish. Birds produce birds. Secondly, in verse 40, he says, there are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. Just as there are different bodies in the creative world, man, beasts, fish, and birds, so there are different bodies as far as earthly and spiritual or heavenly. The word heavenly in your English text is the same word that Paul used in Ephesians, the spirit realm. These are heavenly or spiritual bodies. There are earthly bodies, he says in verse 40, and there are heavenly or spiritual bodies. The glory of the heavenly body is different, and the glory of the earthly body is different. Heteros is the word for different, means not not different of the same kind, but of a different kind. So the difference between the earthly body and the spiritual body is completely different. Verse 41, he says, there is a glory of the sun. There is a glory of the moon. That is that glory that the moon emits. And there's the glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory, all individual. So the process of change is necessary. To go from death to change in the ground into that which death produces. The process of glory, verses 42 through 44. Four things. This really blesses my heart to read this over, especially when I'm having a very frustrating day. So also is the resurrection of the dead, he starts out with verse 42. Just as there is death, and just as there is change, so there is also this also applies to the resurrection of the dead. There are four things that he mentions. First of all, this physical body is sown, that is put into the ground, in corruption. When it goes into the ground, it is corrupt and corrupting. When it is being raised up from out of the dead, it will be raised an incorruptible body. I am corrupt. Not only is my physical body dying from the day of birth, but the value of my flesh, this is what is the blessing, it's corrupt. There isn't anything my human flesh can do to please God. Nothing. Because everything that I do in my human effort is corrupt. Corruption cannot serve God. Corruption can be religious. But something corrupt cannot serve God. I am corrupt, and when they put my physical body into the ground, they are going to put a body of corruption into the ground. And it will corrupt even further once I'm out of this body. It will return to dust. Secondly, verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, and it is being raised in glory. Even though my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing my physical body or flesh can do that is honorable to God. Notice the process. It's corrupt. It's dishonorable. That's why in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, use the instruments of your body as instruments of righteousness, because we have a tendency constantly to be looking to use our physical bodies and the elements of our physical bodies for that which is corrupt and that which dishonors God. There is no way that my flesh can honor God. But when it's raised up, in the new body, in the spiritual body, it will be a glorious body. It will be a body of glory that will depict the glory of God. Thirdly, in verse 43, it is sown in weakness, but is being raised in power. My physical body, at best, is weak. At its best, it is weak. And God helps us to understand that weakness and helps us to turn to Him in the midst of that weakness through the trials and tribulations of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said that he sought the Lord three times, prayed three times for this thorn in the flesh to be removed from him. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." See, our strongest point as Christians is our weakest, is when we're weak. The stronger I am in the flesh, the more I rely on my own resources and my own self. So the Lord makes me become weak, which is really what I really am. When I don't feel weak, I'm riding along on the strength of the flesh and the strength of the human and the strength of human resources. And God continually showing me, He doesn't make me weak, He continually shows me how weak I am. So when this body goes into the ground, not only will it be corrupt, not only will it be dishonorable, but it'll be weak. But it's going to be raised in power. Completely different body. It'll be a spiritual body. Fourthly, verse 44, it is being sown a natural body, cyclical. But it is being raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Two different bodies. That's why there must be change. There must be death. There must be a change or transformation take place. And there must be the end result, which is glory. One day we will be in a spiritual body. Verses 45 to 49 in summary, he says five things. So it is written, taken from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, a very loose presentation. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last Adam, a life-producing spirit. As we see through this progression, the first Adam was Adam as in Adam and Eve, the first man created by God. He is the man of dust. Genesis 2:7 says, God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam became a living soul. The most we can produce is other dust. Other living souls. There's only one who is a life-producing spirit. That's the last Adam. Adam could not produce anything spiritual. He can only produce that which was soulish or natural. Jesus Christ is called the last man, the last Adam, and he is a life-producing spirit. He's the one that breathes life into the nostrils. He is the one that breathes his spirit into the spirit or soul of man. So the first Adam can only produce more dust. The Lord himself produces the spirit. Secondly, verse 46. The first man that comes is not spirit, but it's the natural. So here's the order of things. Afterwards, the spiritual. As with Adam in the garden, he was the natural man. He was the man of dust. He came first. Secondly, came Christ, the spiritual man. So it is with our physical bodies. The natural body comes first. We live out our life. We go into the grave. We come out spiritual. The spiritual comes second, not first. Verse 47 says, the first man, that is Adam, was of the dust and made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from out of heaven. Adam was formed out of dust particles. The best we are in the human, just think. We're talking about hitting a baseball or hitting a golf ball. It's a calling together of a clod of dirt that can hit a ball a certain way or throw a ball a certain way. That's what it is. We're a clod of dirt that's able to hit a ball or throw a ball. That's the best we can do. It's a dirty deal, but we are just of dust. And when we die, this body will corrupt even further and it will return to dust, just as we were formed. But the Lord, the second man, the second Adam, came from heaven. That was his origin. So my human body, its origin is from out of the dust. My spiritual origin and my spiritual body will be from out of heaven. Two different origins. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Verse 48, the fourth thing of five. Such as the man of dust, so are the ones who are made of dust. Such as the heavenly man, so also are the ones who are heavenly. This is the one that blesses my heart. Dust can only produce dust. The Lord is the only one that can produce heavenly people, spiritual people, and a spiritual body. It is interesting in John 3:6, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. In John 3:5, Jesus said that it is necessary for you to be born of water and of the Spirit in order to see the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus went on to say in John 3:6, He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Here's the crux of the matter, folks. All through the Bible, and it's summarized just by these passages right here, the best that I can produce is flesh. I cannot even pray. I cannot even sing. I cannot even teach. I can't preach. I can't even read the Bible correctly without the Spirit of God there to minister to me and show me the things, spiritual things of God. The Spirit of God is the only one that produces the things of God, period. I don't produce it. I can't do church work. I can't do religious work. It's still human. And that's the deception of religion. That's the human element forming a religious system and using scripture and using a church service or a religious program or system in order to reach out to God. And just like with the Jews, who were about as religious as you can get, they were God's chosen people, and yet they rejected the Messiah. We'll see in a couple of weeks in Luke 4, even Jesus stood in the synagogue and said, all these scriptures that you're reading about, it has been fulfilled, I am here. And they still proceeded with their religious system. See, this is a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religion. There's a difference. There's a difference between learning about Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ and being part of a religious system. Big difference. The man of dust, those who are of dust, made of dust, are the same as the man of dust. But the heavenly man, so are those who are of the heavenly man. We have Christ living inside of us, but we're in a corrupt, weak, dishonorable body. But one day we will be like Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. John says, it does not appear, we do not know what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we will see Him just as He is. Just as that heavenly man is, so we will be. Jesus once was flesh and blood. He will return and He will call us out of the graves and we will be transformed and we will become just like Him, a spirit. We will become at one with Him in spirit. We will be just like Him as He is in His glorified body, so we will be in ours. The fifth thing in verse 49, according as we bore the image of the dust, we also will bear the image of the heavenly, future tense. Genesis 1:26 tells us that we were created in the image of God. Right now, we bear the image of dust. We walk around in these earthly bodies made of dust. But in the future, we're going to bear and carry around the image of the heavenly. And just as we have struggled through this earthly life, in our struggle with this dust, and it's nice to know the Scripture says that God knows that we are but dust. What do you expect out of dust? You add water, you get mud. What else can you do? He knows that we are but dust. He knows that we're in this corrupt, weak, dishonorable human frame. But we struggle and move forward mainly because We're involved in the death process here. Did you know that? We're involved in the death process. We're being shaped and formed and transformed in our spirit, but physically we're dying. One day we will be put into the grave. We will go through the process of change according to the fleshly body God has given us. And then we will be resurrected and be given a body of honor and glory and power. We're going to be at one with Christ. We're going to be with Him just like He is. So the answer to the question, how are the dead being raised? Through death, through change, and into glory. The end result is not the same as what was put into the ground, just like the seed. Next week we'll take part two and answer the question, and with what body do they come? And we'll study that next week in verses 50 through 58. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of the hardship, both with circumstances and with our physical bodies, this life process is a process of death, because if the seed does not die, it does not produce life. Out of death, you produce life. Even from the death of your Son on the cross, you produce life for us. And so as we are being put to death daily, the life of Christ is emerging. One day this physical body too will be put to rest. It will be changed, and it will emerge from out of the grave a spiritual body. We thank You for this great hope and encouragement that keeps us looking forward, looking for that day when we too will be with Christ. Thank You for this wonderful promise, and we thank You for Your word that encourages us to tell us the truth about life. Our biggest struggle is struggling with the death process. We're trying to live. We're trying to make it a better life when in reality we're dying. We are corrupt and weak and dishonorable. We are in our natural bodies, and we will do so until the day we die. But in the midst of this pilgrimage process, we thank You that we can turn into the inner man where Christ dwells and receive strength and growth and enjoy an intimate and personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Life coming out of death. May this study today and our understanding of the things of the Lord be an encouragement to us in our struggle, and may we be an encouragement to one another and a comfort to one another as we help each other through this life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.